إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار We praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, his companions, and those who follow them until the end of time. I'm sure all of us are very aware of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Khayru umuri awsatuha," that the best affairs are those affairs that lie in the middle, that are balanced. And of course, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his community are described in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 143 of a chapter which is 286 verses. So this is the verse which is in the middle. Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا That we have made you this moderate ummah, this balanced ummah, so that you could fulfill your responsibility and be a witness towards people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be a witness against you. And subhanAllah, sometimes we struggle to maintain that balance. It's one of the hardest things to do. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman says, أَلَّا تَتَغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ وَأَقِيمُوا الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا فِي الْمِيزَانِ Allah orders us to establish justice, to be internally just and balanced, and to be externally just and balanced. And that's why, mashallah, one of the goals of someone who truly is trying to reach Allah should be to be balanced in their affairs, in their religious affairs. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when those people were told by his wife that how the Prophet worshipped, we know that some of them said, like, I will never stop fasting. Another one said, I will never sleep. Like, I will pray every night. I'll pray tahajjud, the night vigil. And then, of course, the third one said, I will never marry. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was apprised of this from Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, he ran to those people sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he corrected them. And he said, you know, asum aftur, like I fast and I break my fast. وصلي وأنام I pray and I sleep and I marry فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني you know whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here in the acts of worship is focusing on balance but also internally and in our lives and that's why the famous dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of tahajjud Allahumma أنت رب جبريل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض Oh Allah, he would say, after waking up, the Lord of Gabriel, the Lord of Michael, and the Lord of Israfil. And the reason that he mentioned these three angels is because Sayyidina Jibreel is the angel whose job is to bring revelation. So this is a spirituality. Sayyidina Mikael, his job, of course, is rizq and nabat. And matar. So when he's talking and saying the Lord of Mikael, it means my worldly affairs. And Israfil, of course, is the one who's going to blow the trumpet. So we see in this dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam achieving the balance between his spiritual, his physical, and the hereafter, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why in istikhara, in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amra khayru li fi dini aw khayra li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa 'aqibati amri. That's why when he would make istikhara and he would ask for Allah's decision in an affair, he would balance the impact of that decision upon his worldly ambitions, upon his deen, and upon his hereafter, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So quickly, I just gave you two examples of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam focuses on balance between our acts of worship, between our spirituality, and then of course within our daily life, inna li jasadika alayka al-haq, wa inna li nafsika alayka al-haq, wa inna li ahlika alayka al-haq. As he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your soul has a right on you, your family has a right on you, your Lord has a right on you. Fa'ati kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. So give everything its right. And this is one of the greatest causes of division amongst the Muslims, is that oftentimes we aren't able to appreciate that people are not like us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed certain people with passions in certain things and blessed others with passions in other things. And that's why Ash-Shatibi al-Maliki, he said, when people would come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and ask him, ayu a'mal al-afdal, what's the best action? The Prophet always has a different answer, because people, their passions are different, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And oftentimes we, in an act of selfishness or perhaps a myopic view of religion, fail to appreciate that people are going to be coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from different places. That's why Imam Sheikh Ahmed Zarouq, he says in Qawa'id al-Tasawwuf, ikhtilaf al-masalik la yajibu ikhtilaf al-maqsad, mashallah. Which means different ways to God through different acts of worship, spirituality, activism, seeking knowledge, within the realm of orthodoxy, these different ways towards Allah do not necessitate a difference in the goal. وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. And that's why Sayyidina Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, when a Sufi, he sent him a letter and he said to Imam Malik, you know, you're not Sufi enough. Like, you wear nice clothing, you teach mashallah, but you should spend more time in zuhd and you should be more, you know, aloof of the world. When Imam Malik, he wrote back to him, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qassam al-a'mal. Allah has spread actions amongst people like he spread rain. Some places there'll be a lot of rain, some places there'll be a light rain, and there'll be a different type of rain. Look at the beauty of his response, mashallah. That everyone is doing something, inshallah, which Allah has given them as their rizq. And that's why he said to the person, I have no doubt that what you're doing is good, and I have no doubt in what I'm doing is good. فَكُلُّنَا عَلَى خَيْرٍ. Each and every one of us are on good. So sometimes if we see people doing something that we're not doing, maybe we feel angry, like, why isn't this person an activist? Why doesn't this person memorize the Quran? Of course, the fardain, that's not on, we're not talking about fardain now. We're talking about sunan kifa'iyya wa fard kifa'iyya and other things. But when I see people not doing what I'm doing, I don't get upset. I don't become angry. And that's why in the hadith of Sayyidina Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is a servant of mine who seeks an opening to me through worship, but I refuse to open that door for him and her because that act of worship is not good for them. So perhaps what I want for someone and thinking that it's good within the divine knowledge is not good for them. أَهُمْ يَقَسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Are we the ones, our job is to dispense the mercy. So I just want to focus on three things quickly, and then the second khutbah, inshallah, we're going to give you the beef. But this is just the appetizer, the samosas. So subhanAllah, we see now our community divided over religious knowledge, spirituality, and activism. And oftentimes we tend to create these ecosystems within the community where people are activists, people are students of ilm, and then of course, you know, people are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through worship and so on and so forth. But subhanAllah, we see in the Quran, the greatest title, as the Prophet mentioned in a sound hadith, that anybody can be given is Abdullah or Abdurrahman, Amatullah, Amaturrahman for a girl. And we know that the word Abdullah, this is idafa to tashrif, right? This is a possessive which emphasizes the honor of someone. That's why the Prophet said, Ta'isa Abdul Dunya wa Abdul Dinar wa Abdul Khamis, right? The one who is the slave of clothes and wealth is cursed, because here the idafa is not tashrif, it's to lower somebody. But this usage, Abdullah, is only used in a positive way. And if we were to quickly just survey the Quran, we'll find that it's only used in three contexts, and you want to remember this. Number one is in the context of knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah says that the only ones who truly revere God from God's servants are the scholars. The second, in spirituality, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Sayyidina Ibrahim, and he says that he's from his ibad, he's from the servants of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So Sayyidina Ibrahim, he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a tranquil, satisfied, submissive soul. So spirituality. And the third is activism. In numerous places in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the battles of the prophets and talks about the struggles of the righteous, he uses the word abd, but one in particular, in the end of Surah Al-Furqan, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That the servants of the Most Merciful walk with humility in the earth, and when the ignorant apprise them or attack them, they say salama. So here, subhanAllah, we took the context of abd and applied it to three situations, which unfortunately our community tends to divide over. Instead of learning to appreciate one another and respect one another and understand لِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّهَا, that each and every one of us has our own way. And that's why the qira'ah of Surah Al-Fatiha, زِرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, as Ash-Shatibi said, وَالشَّمَّ زَيْءٍ ضَاءٍ وَصَاءٍ, according to Khalad and Khalaf, one of the seven from our Imam, al-zirat is the original meaning of sirat. And al-zirat means to be swallowed. That's why one of the seven qira'at, I don't make it hard for you, اَدِنَا الزِّرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمُ إِشْمَامَ الصَّاد وَالضَّاءِ. If you hear somebody read that way, don't get upset. And the word al-zirat means to swallow. The Arabs used to say, لَا تَكُنْ حُلُوًا فَتَزَرَّتْ. You know, don't be too nice to people, you'll be swallowed. The reason it was called sirat is because sirat and zirat, the path is so wide that when people walked on it, it looked like they were swallowed. So even though the path is one way, إِنَّ الْهُدَى هُدَى اللَّهِ, but the different types of people on the path will be so wide that will swallow each and every one of us, inshallah, with our talents and our abilities. So the point of the first khutbah is that we should respect each other's different approaches that fall within the realm of orthodoxy and not expect people to be just like me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yajma'ana ma'a Sayyidina Rasulillah kama amanna bihi wa lam narahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafur rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Rasulillah alladhi arsalahu Allah ta'ala rahmatan lil alamin wa sayyid al-awwalin wal akhirin. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. What I talked about in the first part of the khutbah actually applies to certain acts which are obligatory, And those acts which are going to fall under highly recommended sunnah, or those acts which are considered good in general. There's no discussion to be had about the permissible, because within the realm of the permissible, how you dress, how I dress, how I talk, how you talk, the kind of food I eat, achar, no achar, matluba, whatever, mafish kalam khalis. But now we see even our ummah, not only did we divide over the obligatory and the sunnah, but we find ourselves not even being tolerant in the permissible. But we see Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he went to Dimashq, as mentioned by Al-Qarafi al-Maliki, and he found Sayyidina, some of the Sahaba, they were dressed really nicely. And for Sayyidina Umar, that was something strange, because Sayyidina Umar, he was Zahid. He was a person who was aloof from the opulence of dunya, mashallah. So Allah enriched him to be free of the need of dunya. Where most people, they think riches is to have the dunya. Islam says that riches is the ability to be autonomous from being attached in an unhealthy way to dunya. And when he met those Sahaba, they were worried. Because they said, man, like Umar, he saw us, we're looking fly. And he said to them, you know, antum a'lam bi qawmikum. Like, you know, antum a'lamu bi qawmikum. You know your people better than me. So while this permissible act that you're doing is disagreeable to me personally, I'm not going to censor you because this is something permissible. Look at the fiqh of Sayyidina Umar in the ibahat, in the permissible. The reason I say that is that oftentimes we have the passion of activism, whether it's religious activism or political activism, but we don't tether it with adab and akhlaq. And we know, as Imam al-Ghazali mentioned, rahimahullah, and Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, that every act has two or three components. The first is the inner adab, the second is the performance of the act, and then the third, which is the wrapping on the gift, is the akhlaq, which should surround this act. So whether it's political activism or religious activism, have we asked ourselves about our character and our akhlaq and how we engage people? And have we tethered it in knowledge? We live in a time now where ignorance is knowledge. Just look at our president. And knowledge is ignorance. That's why Abu Ala al-Mu'arri, the great Arab philosopher and poet, he said, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ الْجَهْلَ فِي النَّاسِ فَاشِيًا تَعْلَمْتُ حَتَّى يُقَالُ أَنِّي جَاهِلُ. He said, you know, when I saw ignorance had permeated society, I learned until people said I was stupid. Meaning, as an alim, people thought I was dumb. And this is the first quality of any type of activist, is to have knowledge, foundational knowledge, literacy. And that's why if we look at the life of Sayyidina Musa, we see innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budani wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. For him to be a prophet, he has to have ma'rifah of Allah. And for a Muslim, I have to make sure that I'm tethering my work for God. If my work in the political sphere is for other than God, then my ability to say that this is a religious form of activism became suspect. And if my religious activism is untethered from the character of the Prophet and seeking only the pleasure of Allah, then my religious activism is a charade. We ask Allah bil afiyah. The second quality is to be a person of khitma. And if you look at most of the prophets in the Quran, they usually were anointed as prophets after a heroic act, after an incredible act of service. So we see Sayyidina Musa, he helps Abuna Shaykhun Kabir, he helps those two women, he gets married, mashallah. Inni anastu nara, and then when he assumes that there's fire to help his family, he goes to get this fire, as Ghalib, the great Urdu poet, said, if you're worried about God's plan for you, Then think about Musa. He went for fire and came back a prophet. SubhanAllah. But service. Am I a service-oriented person? Do I always have to be the leader? Do I always have to be on the front lines? Do I volunteer? People, they always come and complain. And I ask them, have you maximized your ability to volunteer to solve this problem? And the answer is always, I've never volunteered once. Then what are you complaining about? Do you have a project proposal for saving the ummah that you're so angry with? Well, last night, you know, I was playing Fortnite and I shot this pink bunny and I had a John Wick's skin on and I decided, hey, I can save the ummah. Like, really? Like, that's how it is? Go and serve first. When I became Muslim, my teacher, I said to him, I want to memorize the Quran. He said, iron my clothes. I was like, what? He's like, you have to serve. You need to learn how to serve. The third is the love of ibadah, the love of worship, finding a taladhul fi ibadah, and loving to be alone with Allah more than we love the likes on Instagram. Loving to be alone with Allah more than the filters that we got on the App Store. Loving to be alone more with Allah and finding the beauty in that experience more than anything I could buy at Sephora. Looking at my heart more than I look at my biceps in the gym. And that's why Sayyidina Musa, we learn something from him in the same surah as we finish. When Allah says, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى, what is it in your right hand? He begins to talk about his staff. This is called itnab. And he begins to embellish. He talks about the staff like people talk about Bugattis, man. قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَعُ عَلَيْهَا وَشُبِهَ عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَارِبُ أُخْرَى. Nobody in the world has ever talked about a stick like that. What is that? It's a stick. Okay, cool, stick. It's my stick. I walk on it. I use it to look after my flock. وَلِيَ مَأَرِبُ أُخْرَى. And the way it's said in Arabic is like, I have a lot of other things I can do for it, with it. So ask me about it. I asked one of my teachers in Azhar, why did Sayyidina Musa describe his staff this way? He said, because he wanted to extend the conversation with Allah. So when the opportunity came to speak to God, the stick became a priceless jewel. How do we make dua now if we're activists? Allahumma surni, ameen. Allahumma taghir ahwal al-ummah, ameen. Or do we enjoy that moment? The last, because we don't have time, is the ability to recognize shortcomings and have interlocutors and mentors. Most people, they don't like to have people around them that tell them you can improve on something. But that's the sign of a good, sincere activist religiously and politically. So we see that Sayyidina Musa, he's introspective, he recognizes his challenge, and that's the next quality, is group work, being able to work with people. So he asks for Sayyidina Harun. And the last 2 points is being able to speak truth to power. If someone is a coward, they should not be in religious and political work. But it demands bravery. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ لَيِّنَا. So Musa immediately has to carry the responsibility of prophethood to speak to Fir'aun, to speak truth to power. And the last is to have an ask. And his ask is to free Bani Israel. Free them. Oftentimes we go to interfaith groups, we sit with politicians, we meet with different community leaders, and we feel that the meeting is enough. No, you have to have an ask. Because if there's no ask, then what's the purpose? So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yuwassi' qulubana. Ask Allah to expand our hearts. With that in mind, I'm here this evening with our brothers and sisters, here at Ikna Relief, alhamdulillah, and Helping Hand. And tonight we have a program, inshallah. And as you leave, you're going to see a brother on the side. Again, khidmah and service, mashallah. These opportunities to serve are indeed incredible. So if you have an opportunity, just stop by, holler at him, and see what's up, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our brothers and sisters in Congo. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our brothers and sisters in Mali, in the Gambia, in Senegal, in Liberia, in the west coast of Africa, the east coast of Africa, in Egypt and Libya. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Bosnia, our brothers and sisters in Chechnya and Dagestan, our brothers and sisters in Crimea. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our brothers and sisters in East Turkmenistan, of course, which is the Uyghur community in China. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them, inshallah, justice and freedom. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and India and Iran and Bangladesh and Yemen. We ask Allah to bless the brothers and sisters in Palestine and yuharrirhum, inshallah, to give them freedom and independence, inshallah, and an honorable life. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria, in Somalia, and all over the Muslim world. And most importantly, we pray for this country, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ja'ana sababa liman ihtada, and that Allah makes our existence in this place a means of benefit for others. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.